Hey everybody, this is BitNote with David Collins. We'll be playing some good old video game music, so hope you stick around and enjoy some good beats. Okay, everybody. I decided to do something a little different for this show. You may have remembered that a while back I had my bike stolen, so I decided, out of anger, to make the entire show devoted to the theme of bicycles. So video games have bicycles or not. Well, the truth is, sometimes I feel that this show just, you know, it gets... I'm playing a lot of great songs and I'm talking about it, but there's not always a lot of continuity. I like diversity. But I decided that for this show, I'm going to have actually a theme, and I sort of came across the theme by accident, and I sort of ran with it. The theme for today's show is New York City. Yes, I chose it more because it provided a lot of material rather than any particular sentimental value on my behalf, although I have been to New York City, and I have to say, it contains a lot of skyscrapers. But let's move on to pretty much the first game I ever played that gave a really true, accurate, in my mind, great depiction of New York City in a video game. It is from CJ in the USA. And that was the music from CJ in the USA, developed by Genesis Software, and that music itself was composed by Ashley Hogg. It was published by Codemasters. I played that game in the Amiga, and it was just a fun game. It was a budget title, so it was just, you know, a simple fun platformer game with colourful graphics. And the idea was you were essentially an elephant, your name was CJ, and essentially I think your relatives have been kidnapped and brought to the USA, so you try to go over there and, you know, get them back and stuff, something. Anyway, I think it was basically, I think, inspired a bit by a New Zealand story. And I love the New Zealand story. So I said, I want a game more, another game like the New Zealand story where you're colourful and everything. So I found this in the shop. I remember the great big cardboard boxes and knowing inside that inside would contain a floppy disk that I would love. And it said, well, this looks enough like the New Zealand story that it looks good. So I ended up buying it, or getting my mum to buy it, whichever, in good old Still Oregon Shopping Centre. And I raced home and I put it in, and you know, it was actually pretty damn good. I mean, I wasn't blown away, but I mean, like, I was an elephant. I was jumping around. I was shooting peanuts out of my trunk for some weird reason. And I was throwing bombs. And I was thinking, boy, this is fun. This game's allowing me to shoot peanuts at people and throw bombs. And so I dealt with all these things. And, like, the first level takes place in New York, but it's got some weird stuff going on. It's got like some cartoon depiction of hooligans and American footballers. You're attacked by American footballers and police things. And at one stage, I mean, the great part is that you platform up all these abstract blocks floating in the sky. And then at one point you jump over the Empire State Building. So, you know, good times for all. And I don't think I ever really got that far in that game. I mean, I remember having a bit of fun with it, all right. But it's just, and I like the bright, colourful graphics and the sun tune and everything. But I satirically put it as the best video game depiction of New York City that video gaming history has ever given us. So, but I think that others may disagree on that point. There is actually, I've heard of this game that actually is basically a text adventure. So, you know, you type in commands and you move like north, south, west. It actually is based on, that is actually based in New York. I haven't actually looked that much into it. I probably should for the next show, but since it probably doesn't have any music, I don't really, it's kind of awkward just to insert it in the show without music. Although I've done it before, but anyway, let's move on to our next track. This one's a little more down tempo, but I think it's got a certain lot of motion to it. And what we had there was Alex Theme by Sasha Dikikian and Chris Valesco from the video game Prototype by Radical Entertainment. So as you can see, it had a nice gritty sort of vibe there. And by the way, I think I completely misused the term down tempo, but what can you do? That's when you got your background in playing video games rather than actually listening to music and pretending you know stuff. So Prototype is a lot of a fun game. Yet again, it's a game that takes place in New York City, and in this case there's a virus outbreak that is plaguing the city and creating mutants and monsters, and they call in the military and other sort of enemies that you have to fight against. And you are a guy called Alex Mercer. You thought your life was normal, you know, and then suddenly you wake up without much memory of your life on an operating table and suddenly find you have super new powers. So then you get really, really angry at the people who gave you these super cool powers, which is something I never quite figured out about the game. But essentially it involves military experiments and genetic things and viruses and stuff. I've actually got a bit of irritation with the plot of this game, because part of the idea is that there are these tiny little quests you can do to get tiny scraps of the plot, and I like really attacked that quest with a lot of vigor, which you have to do by absorbing people and getting their memories. But in the end, it really didn't give that much depth. But, you know, whatever. It's the whole sort of standard. There are monsters. New York City is under lockdown, there's a virus spreading around the city, and then there's an army, and you're basically a guy who has superpowers that's running around trying to figure out what caused the outbreak, why did you wake up, what were your previous memories, and, you know, how can you stop the military from screwing everything up? Basically, you know, it's the old thing about, you know, whether, you know, you've got the aliens, the military, and you're kind of in the middle. So, what are their powers? And this is where it gets a lot of fun. I mean, sometimes in a lot of games they give you a couple of basic powers, but you literally have the run of New York City. Literally, you can run directly up buildings. You can run them and jump them around and, you know, spin. And I think there was actually one comic strip on the internet that got famous for saying one of the great things about this is you can karate kick a helicopter, which you can. And you can do a lot of, and you've got all these weird powers that let you, like, smash through people. And, of course, you can send cars flying and throwing stuff. And, yeah, that's actually one really fun thing about the game. You can pick, if you're pursued by a helicopter, there's so many different ways. You can jump up to the helicopter and attack them directly and then hijack the helicopter. Or you can steal a rocket launcher and shoot blasts at the helicopter. Or you can grab an entire car and throw the car at the helicopter, which personally was my preference. I suppose it's kind of one of these, you know, destruction playground sort of games, you know. I mean, it's all pretty lowbrow and it's all just, you know, militaries and people grunting and, you know, a whole lot of stuff. But, you know, it's just about just letting loose, you know, running around, smashing through stuff, throwing helicopters, taking on military, calling mutants, just a lot of chaos and a lot of blasting stuff. So, you know, it's really... And so, like I said, it's got a guttural nice feel to it. I do have to say, though, at times I felt it got a little juvenile. I mean, there's actually this really disturbing trend I've noticed in a lot of video games. But, you know, okay, games, they are violent games. We accept that. Sometimes they can be a little violent. But sometimes I find they're a little needlessly violent. And it always makes me just a tad uncomfortable. Because I'm saying, okay, I don't really want this. I mean, I'm just, you know... I suppose the first time I had that was when I was playing, when I was playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and I was carjacking someone, and then the character who was controlling just made some, you know, I'm taking you right or whatever, and just said this really insulting thing and saying, damn it, look, I'm just trying to steal the car. You don't need to be so personal about it and throw the obscenities. And it's kind of like that. Often you're playing a character and just to do something, the character will go over. Like, for instance, one of the parts of the game is that you basically absorb someone's body and then take their form and take their memories and stuff. And okay, I mean, obviously you're kind of killing them, which kind of makes controversial, which is always slightly uncomfortable. But I mean, like, some of the animations in the game are like him basically, you know, to do this, he basically pushes the person to the ground and like beats the pulp out of them, which, you know, I'm not going to defend that or anything, because I don't know, I just would have thought that you could kill people in a far more less brutal and graphic fashion. That's all I'm saying. And yes, I realize this is pretty screwed up. Your morals really do adjust when you're playing video games. I mean, it's like, there are things that you just suddenly start accepting when you're playing video games that you'd never accept in real life. And the fact that, you know, I mean, given the amount of chaos you're playing in this game, it's kind of impossible not to get a huge amount of bystanders killed. I mean, you know. When you throw a car at a helicopter, the helicopter will fall on something. When you blow something up, that'll happen. Sometimes you're just running through the street and you'll slam into someone at full speed, and because you're invulnerable and they aren't, they might sort of come off worse for wear. It's, like I said, it's kind of sometimes you people, gamers, even have a bit of a dark humour about all the bystanders. Like I said, I don't mind in that respect. All the bystanders are really just two-dimensional cardboard cutouts. Most of them, you'll pretty much see that in early games, you'd see this exact same bystander, the exact same model all around the place. They're just, and they barely talk, they barely communicate, you barely learn anything about them. But, so suddenly you could end up in this thing where you're driving a car, for instance, and you just, and the fact that maybe it's slightly faster driving on the pavement, you know, you're not exact, you don't exactly counter the fact that there might be people on the pavement into the equation. There's a lot of controversy if games have had in the past, and of course, to be honest, most people do not understand the drastic gulf between video games and real life. For instance, I would never in real life go out there, pick up a car and throw it at a helicopter. That's just something I would never do. And but at the same time, video games have ratings for a reason. There's a reason that Grand Theft Auto and Prototype both are 18s. And just a guidance here, an 18s video game can tend to have more violence than an 18s movie. That's just a certain. So they exist for a reason. And I remember one time when I was a kid, I wanted a game of Quake in the game shop. And I pleaded with my mum, but my mum saw that it was 18s or whatever. And she said, no, you're too young for it. And I was very happy for that, because later on I played that game in a friend's house and I didn't think it was all that great. So I was kind of glad I didn't get it. So why don't we move on to our next New York video game based song. This is actually another game, open world game, but this is from something you might be slightly more established. Have a listen. And that, my friends, was the main theme from a video game, Spider-Man 2, developed by Tetriarch. And the music, I believe, was composed by Michael McCousten, who's dealt a lot with a lot of superhero animated TV series themes. So I think it's him. By the way, there's also a German industrial band, KMFDM, which was also involved with a lot of music in the game. But I don't think it was them, because that theme track didn't sound very industrial. I don't really listen to much industrial, but I think it involves more louder noises. Anyway, this game is actually a lot of fun, Spider-Man 2. I mean, normally, it's generally taken by a lot of gamers that if a game is based on a blockbuster movie, that it's going to suck, really. I mean, this usedn't always be the case. I remember like playing classics like Aladdin on the Mega Drive, which were a lot of fun. And I mean, in fact, being part of a movie almost made the game better in some ways, because they had an existing mythology and world to work with and people could take inspiration from it. And of course, 007 GoldenEye, classic example of a great game based on a movie, and indeed the very first game ever created, Space War. Well, unless you can discount Tennis for Two, but that was based on an oscilloscope. But Space War was actually based on a movie of the same name. I mean, it wasn't official or anything, but movies and video games go back, their history goes back a long way. And in terms of Spider-Man 2, they take the plot, which is decent, but, you know, a little like Prototype, you've got this whole city of New York to run around in. I mean, this is kind of by this whole sandbox game we're going for here. I never really discussed the sandbox genre, but it kind of took off with Grand Theft Auto 3, which was, I mean, obviously the previous two Grand Theft Auto games 2D, had 2D versions of this, but it really took off with Grand Theft Auto 3, which was interestingly set in a city called Liberty City, which was very like New York. And indeed, for Grand Theft Auto 4, they pretty much reproduced that city. They reproduced New York City and then called it Liberty City again. But the idea is you've got this great big expansive area, and which you can just mess around in. I mean, I like these games if they let you do this as early as possible. And the fun and the great ways that these games success is if you just don't mind specifically and are just going around crazy, doing stuff, hijacking cars, well, you know, in Grand Theft Auto. But in Spider-Man 2, you're just swinging around and it's a great feeling. You know, you can pretty much, from early on in the game, you can pretty much go swing the entire length of Manhattan Island and even just catch a lift in a few helicopters to see the Statue of Liberty. And it's just great because they really got the swinging. I mean, a lot of people have said the swinging is great. It's just great. Once you get the hang of it, you're like swinging fast, shooting at another web line, swinging along, being Spider-Man, running along the side of buildings if need be, doing swan dives off of buildings, running up the side of buildings, and just running up onto the top of buildings, running along them, swinging, jumping, swirling. And if you get it just right, I mean, that's it. It's just amazing. You just swirl through the city and shoot through it and get through it. I mean, it's just that feeling of like blasting through the city at speed and try to get someplace. It's just a great feeling, especially when it comes together. And I mean, that's what a lot of games really come to shine. When people suddenly get the mechanics and everything, when people get in the zone and it's just so fluid. And I don't know, they spent a really lot of development on it. Another great thing about the game was it had actually a decent fighting system as well. I mean, this is Spider-Man, of course, so we're talking a bit of cartoony fighting. But I mean, like, a lot of combat systems in video games, they're like, you know, a bunch of little miniature models. They're all nice in their own, and maybe I put them in sequence and it's kind of nice. But with Spider-Man, it was like little bits of Lego, each with their own distinctive things. I mean, you could put them together in so many different combinations. You could shoot a web line at an enemy and pull him towards you, and either you could like dodge out of the way so he slams into the wall behind you, or you could give him a huge punch and punch him backwards. Or you could punch him upwards, then jump up and punch him several times in the sky. I mean, it had this really weird physics-defying thing, where basically you could jump into the sky, shoot a web line at someone, pull them right up towards you, beat them up, then jump off their body further into the sky, shoot a web line below towards them, pull them right up to where you are. I mean, it completely breaks the laws of physics in every conceivable way. But it was fun, and I think that's what matters. The plot line followed the games. It was just great. It was just a good example of a licensed video game. Okay. So, while we're on the topic of Grand Theft Auto, let's play Grand Theft Auto 4, which, as I said, has Liberty City, but it's really a takeoff of New York City. They literally had teams of photographers going to New York and capturing many aspects of the city in stunning detail. So, what you have right now is called Soviet Connection by Michael Hunter from Grand Theft Auto 4 by Rockstar North. We'll be right back. Well, for those who don't know, Grand Theft Auto 4, it was the game that, like I said, just really... It's not actually a sequel to Grand Theft Auto 3, technically, because there were two games, Vice City and San Andreas, that went between the two, not to mention the PSP ports. But it was a game that really pushed realism and graphic fidelity and gave a stunning view of a slightly satirized version of New York City. But I don't know, some people felt it just got a little boring at times. It's kind of fun. A lot of people just want like doing crazy stuff in video games. I happen to be one of them. I played Grand Theft Auto 4. I liked its mood and atmosphere and music and stuff. But I think I preferred Saints Row 2 because it just let me do crazy stuff. Okay, for our last song. For the last song, I am playing the ending, of course, as is traditional, to an arcade game that's set in New York. I think that arcade games just don't get enough credit. There are some classic arcade games, some brilliant ones, and this one is Gunblade NY. It was developed by Sega, and the music was composed by Naoki Tokiwa and Kentaro Komiya. And by the way, Kentaro has apparently done a lot of Sega stuff as well. The game was released in 1995 and was set in the futuristic year of 2005. Whoa. And essentially, it had terrorists taking over New York and you had to do something about it. I have to say, you know, I know terrorists are tough and, you know, they're serious. But back in the 90s, terrorists were fun, you know. They weren't, especially in 1990s arcades. They were basically guys of a gigantic legion who basically all dressed the same and would jump up in front of you and do the most crazy stuff. And then you beat that ever-loving crap out of them in whatever, either through fists or shooting them repeatedly. It's just funny, they never ever stood for anything. They never really had any ideals. They weren't fleshed out. They were just two-bit caricatures. And it was just like fun because, you know, they weren't really representing anything in real life. And then, of course, 2001 September happened and it became a little harder just to take terrorists in New York and stuff and serious. Anyway, but essentially what's happening is that basically the terrorists are taking over New York. They've got all these trucks and machines and motorcycles and vehicles and aerial helicopters and stuff. And basically, you are part of a two-person team that are basically in a single helicopter with machine guns in it. And on the arcade game, it's cool. You got the big screen in front of you and you got this great big plastic machine gun. I mean, well, not really a gun. It's like this bulky bazooka thingamabob. And it's got this hit, and it's basically, it's got a hinge on the arcade cabinet so you can twist, turn it left and right and up and down. And wherever you aim it, that's where the shots go. And when you do shoot it, there's a vibration in the great bulky thing, so you can actually feel it shake. And, I mean, it's great feedback. It just gives it there. And then everything's so over the top. When you shoot a terrorist with these, like, yellow potato things, they jump over, they fall back, and if you shoot them a few more times, they fall over and blow up. And then you just keep doing this repeatedly to all these things. And, like, and it's just a heck of a lot of fun. Just pure adrenaline, pure thing, pure frantic action, trying to shoot all the missiles before they hit you, trying to blow up all the vehicles and trucks before they get to you. It's just really frantic, a lot of fun, and just, you know, very visceral. In fact, actually, I was playing a Time Crisis 4 recently, and I got to like the second or third stage, and I said, realized, wait a sec, this is completely ripping off Gunblade NY. I mean, they had pretty much the same thing, a city, and you were shooting a machine gun from an aerial helicopter and stuff. But Gunblade NY, always a favorite. I never, naturally, you're going all these cool places like Battery Park and finally defeating them in UN headquarters. And if you do complete the game, you do manage to finally defeat the terrorists and liberate the city of New York from their oppressive grasp and have your happy ending, then this is the sound back then that would reward you. This has been BitNote with David Collins. Thanks for listening.